Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
So yesterday on the programme we were speculating about whether or not the government would allow the pubs to reopen next Monday. A lot of us felt it wasn't going to happen, and it came as a blow to anybody who owns or works in the 3,500 so-called wet pubs around the country that have not been allowed to, and aren't going to be allowed to reopen until at least the 31st of August. And even at that, that all depends on what happens with COVID-19 over the coming weeks. I want to just talk to somebody from one of my favourite watering holes in Dublin, one of the city's most recognisable bars, and that is Grogan's. I'm joined on the line by Daniel Smith from Grogan's. Daniel, good morning and welcome to 98FM.
Hi Adrian, how's it going?
Well Daniel, did it come as a surprise?
No, not really.
No.
We kind of expected as much with the kind of sounds that were coming out of the public health bodies and government ministers in the days leading up to the announcement, but it doesn't mean it's any less of a massive blow and just a bit of a kick in the teeth, really, to the entire industry.
So tell me what it means to your bar, because obviously Grogan's is what we have come to learn over recent weeks is a wet pub. You might do a toasted ham and cheese sandwich, but you're primarily a bar that sells drink, and you're not going to be reopening. What does that mean for your bar?
Well, it means that, first of all, there's 14 staff that are going to be thought they would be returning to work next Monday. They're going to be out of work for at least another 3 weeks. Some of the staff have been there 20, 30 years, like, and obviously it's a massive change for them having to be out of work for so long.
And how are they coping, Daniel?
Well, it's like the same as everyone else. Obviously, during the pandemic, we all had to make sacrifices, and that was great, and that was fine, and it had to be done. But at this stage, every other industry now has got the chance to open back up, and ours hasn't, and our staff are at their wits' end. Like, they want to get back to work. I know I certainly want to get back to work, and it's very difficult. And, like, it goes even further than that. It's not just ourselves, even. Like, pub support an entire heap of industries. Mm. Like, you look at, you've got your suppliers, you've got your stock from maybe 10 to 12, 10 to 15 different suppliers. So they're all pushed back now. That could affect jobs there. You've got the live entertainment industry. So, like, obviously people playing music in bars and stuff like that, they don't know when they're going to get back to work. So it goes a lot deeper than just publicans and pub owners.
Yeah, and like I said yesterday on the programme, I know an awful lot of people because of the business that I work in. I know an awful lot of DJs, musicians, bands. So, as you said, this isn't just about the publican or the staff. It is much wider than all of that, and much more people are affected than just 3,500 publicans.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's a point that's missed quite a lot, I think. You see a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, maybe it's a good thing and they shouldn't be open. But it goes a lot deeper than just greedy publicans or whatever their perception may
be. Yeah, and like I said, some people yesterday were being quite flippant in saying, keep them closed. I don't go to the pubs, I won't miss them, all that sort of thing. But these are the livelihoods of publicans, of staff, of entertainers, of the list is endless nearly, of the amount of people directly affected by this decision yesterday.
Absolutely. And it's a real blow, and to see that it seems as though the government really had no contingency plans for if the cases did start to rise when the economy began to reopen, because there's been no support as of yet put in place for the pubs that have been closed and will be closed for pretty much half the year by the 31st of August. And even at that, there's no guarantee, as the Taoiseach said yesterday, there's no guarantee we might even open this year. Yet we still haven't been offered any substantial supports.
Now, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, said that the decision to further delay reopening of the pubs by at least another 3 weeks was based on international evidence that indicated the reopening could lead to a rise of COVID-19 cases. You don't necessarily accept that, do you?
No, I wouldn't be particularly in agreement with that. I think you've seen from the gastropubs that have opened operating under restaurant conditions on the 29th of June, there has been one known outbreak associated with them or with restaurants in that time period.
Mm.
And we could operate the similar guidelines. We could ensure social distancing. We could, I don't personally agree with the time limit, but we could operate it if it was necessary. And the fact that we're not being given the chance to operate under the same criteria as our industry colleagues is a bit disheartening. And obviously they've done, for the most part, pubs who have opened with food have done a brilliant job, as has been evidenced by the Gardaí. But
and you think that so-called wet pubs could do the exact same thing?
Absolutely. I know for a fact we'd be in a position to do it, to operate with table service and ensure distancing between the tables. And like, it's definitely something that's manageable and something that's extremely achievable.
And you sound disappointed that you haven't even been given a chance.
Yeah, that's the overwhelming feeling, really. Like, every other industry has been given a chance to show that they can implement safety procedures, and we haven't. And even if you look at the breakdown of the cases recently, a lot have been coming from workplaces or, for example, meat factories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been in the midst of this pandemic for 6 months. These businesses have been open the entire time. The fact that 6 months into this, it's still happening in these businesses shows that maybe the government haven't done enough to put in place rigorous procedure the way they have for the gastro pubs that have opened. And perhaps if there was more attention paid to the root of the problem currently, we wouldn't be in the situation we are.
Let me ask you about Grogan's itself. As I said, it's one of my favourite watering holes in the city on South William Street. What does it mean for you and your business? Is your business under threat now because of this continued closure?
Well, we're in quite a fortunate position that we don't have a mortgage and we don't have any rent to pay and that we own the property. So we are quite secure, but even at the same time, there's pubs up and down the length and breadth of the country, not only in rural areas but in urban areas as well, that have had to pay rent throughout this and have bills coming in throughout this. And if they don't get the chance to operate and trade, or they don't get support from the government, you could see a serious, serious number of closures throughout the country.
It really is... quite scary for anybody in that situation. I spoke to a man yesterday who was a pub down in Eden Derry in County Offaly, and he is so strapped now he doesn't even know how he's going to afford to send his kids back to school. So that is the harsh reality of this. So your point going forward, and obviously it's another at least 3.5 weeks before it is considered, your point is we can reopen safely and operate in a safe manner and even have time restrictions if we have to do that, but just give us a chance. Are you concerned, Daniel, when you see increasing cases of COVID-19? Do you get in any way that the government is putting public health first?
Oh, absolutely. And like, we were one of the first pubs to close. At the start of this, we took the decision ourselves to close down because we didn't feel at the time we were in a position to operate upon the government's advice that had been given to operate at the time.
Mm.
Obviously, we do take this extremely seriously, and it is an extremely serious disease, and many people in the country have tragically lost their lives to it, and people have lost loved ones. And I'm absolutely not in any way trying to undermine that, but it just feels as though
You're the scapegoats.
The situation with pubs seems to be being used as a sort of messaging tool to the general public to say, look, you're not there yet, you can't let
and, your and we're going to keep the pubs closed as long as we're not there.
Yeah, essentially.
All right, as I said on yesterday's programme, Daniel, my heart goes out to all of you in the pub trade. This is a very, very difficult time for you. I know an awful lot of bar staff desperate to get back to work. I know an awful lot of entertainers desperate to just strum their guitar again for a few people. And all of that is the spin-off of this decision. Daniel, I look forward to talking to you, hopefully, on the 31st of August, when hopefully Grogan's will get to reopen again. And I appreciate you talking to us on the programme today.
That's great. Thanks
very much indeed. That is Daniel Smith from Grogan's on South William Street. Just one example of one city pub that is not reopening next Monday. They had hoped to. They had all the safety protocols in place and were raring to go, as an awful lot of other pubs were around the country. I'd like to hear from you on 6797981. You can text, you can WhatsApp, or you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. Do you think this was the right decision by the government at this time, bearing in mind we have had an increase of cases of COVID-19? Let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice note from Mark.
Hey, that's just regarding the pubs not opening. What I find strange is I was out at Malahide over the bank holiday weekend, and like the playgrounds there must have had over, with kids and adults, there must have been over 200 people, no social distance, etc. Barbecues. I know it's outside, but still a bit unfair for pubs not to open.
All right, Mark, thanks very much indeed. As I said, the advert says, pausing now is better than a backward step later. Michelle, good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
Michelle, your dad owns a pub and your brother runs it.
Yeah.
And this is having a very serious impact on their mental health, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's absolutely heartbreaking to see. So we've obviously followed all guidelines from the 12th of March, and just seeing everywhere else reopen is just so diminishing for things they've built their whole livelihood for. What I was saying to your researcher was, you know, with the hairdressing association demanded for them to be brought forward, mm-hmm. and it was a huge demand, and they got it when deaths were still so high. Why can't they give the publicans a chance? Even don't have 105-minute table bookings, have 90 minutes, see if that will work. They're just saying no. They're just saying we don't trust people who drink.
If you talk about things like time limits, and theoretically there are time limits in place in the places that are already open, very few people are being thrown out after 105 minutes. In fact, I can tell you from my own experience, in any place I've been in, I haven't been thrown out after 105 minutes. So that's not really...
But then why are the guards allowing that then? And then not
because
then?
It's such a difficult thing for the guards to prove. It's so difficult for them to prove that you're actually sitting there more than 105 minutes. It's nearly impossible.
But in fact, no one else a chance, so, and it's just not fair for our economy at all.
Mm.
I know, it's just what we talked about over there.
Sorry, I can't hear you there, Michelle. Your phone's gone on wonky.
Sorry. We talked about this. We've had debates so much of what we could do. Like, my brother now, he's 45. He has his mortgage. He's two kids. I had to bring his daughter yesterday to go and buy school books for 5th year, which aren't cheap. And then my brother broke down saying, it's not your job to be looking after my daughter. It was just listening to that publican from Edenderry yesterday just broke my heart.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Like, if I can help my brother out. And then that made him more upset, saying, you're not meant to be doing this. It's my job to look after my family. And I don't know, it's so
trying to give him a dig out at in a similar way to that guy yesterday. And like I said,
yeah.
That publican from Edenderry, he was on my mind all day yesterday, I have to say.
Same with me.
As an example of somebody who's going through a really tough time because of this. But your brother is the exact same.
Same.
You reached out to try and help him, and that...
He broke down crying because, like, he's never lived off the state. He's not used to not being able to support his children. So, of course, my niece. But he said, no, you're my little sister. It's not your job to be doing it.
Mm.
And I don't know. I just want to give them a chance. I don't know. It's so hard to see that where everywhere else in the country is reopening except this industry.
And like I said, my heart goes out to... anybody, your brother, that guy I spoke to yesterday, DJs, bands, all of the people directly affected as a result of this. But Michelle, let me ask you, this is all about COVID-19. Everything we've been through over the last few months is all about this horrible virus that has killed 1,700 plus people here in Ireland, that has made other people very seriously ill. It's a horrible virus. None of us want to get it. And that's what this is all about. So are the government not right to be extra cautious?
But why is it just the one industry that's being affected? Like that playground.
Because of the belief. Well, yeah, like that playground, yeah, I suppose. But
like the beaches.
The belief is that people congregating in indoor premises like a pub, ultimately when alcohol gets involved, social distancing goes out the window.
Well, like my dad said, we have tables. Just come into the pub, you'll have to sit down. There has to be changes. So if people still want to come and have their pints, they can, and then leave. We're doing it now with meals like that. We're eating our 9-year-old chicken wings to get your 4 pints in that time and leaving. It's just the new norm. I think everyone's just assuming that the Irish are going to get too drunk and too rowdy and not giving us a chance at all.
Okay, stay there for one second, because Sarah, you believe that the government is doing a good job here, and do you support that decision yesterday?
Yeah, I do support that decision, as in I think it's more important to get the kids back to school.
But what has a pub got to do with the kids going back to school?
Because when everybody starts mixing in the pubs together, it's going to peak up, and then they're not going to allow the kids back to school.
So you believe that we need to control any part of our society that could lead to an increase in the virus in order...
And then, like that, if we get bigger peaks again, then screening is going to stop. People that have to go in for stuff in hospitals, that will all stop again. I think all that kind of stuff is way more important than people going in for a drink. But my heart does go out to people with families that own pubs. I think the government should be setting up something for them to be able to, like, maybe give them more money or whatever. But I definitely don't think the pub should be open this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Really? Even if we get the virus back under control again?
Well, it's not going to get under control until everything is kind of stopped at a steady pace and then slowly reopened. But I think the pubs are going to be the last to be reopened.
Michelle, do you see that the pubs may be the last to be reopened?
I can't even think of that.
Yeah.
My family will be dead. Like, they won't be able for it.
Horrible.
And I do get the point that children have to go back to school. But then go back to the 10 kilometres that you have to travel. Like, people are mixing in Tesco, they're mixing in playgrounds, they're going on vacation. It's not as if it's just the pub.
But they're with their own families. They're not mixing with other families. Do you know what I mean? It's like, when you go to a pub, anybody that goes to a pub, I get everybody, your dad or whoever, can set up things, but you're not going to get every single person that's going to be good in a pub, and then it's going to start mixing. At the end of the day, everybody has done their bit throughout this whole thing. A pub is for adults. Can we not just hold on a little bit longer and give the nurses a chance and give the government a chance and everybody to get things back into order, and then we can have our adult playground and go to the pub.
All right, do me a favour, both of you, stay on the line there for 1 second. 6797981 is our telephone number. This is a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898 from Mark.
Hi, Adrian. Great show. Mark here in Kilkenny. I work in the hospital myself. So, I mean, we're crying out for healthcare staff. And I'm listening to people about the pubs and the livelihoods being affected. Just go back and retrain. There's plenty of jobs in the health service. And, you know, there's plenty of people in addiction centres as well. True alcohol, true the pubs, true off-licences. So it's not a bad thing. And we're seeing a lot of cases dropping with alcohol-related issues.
Mark, it's all well and good to say just go and retrain. So for some people, this is their entire life that they've put into their pubs, their career as bar staff. It's kind of a little bit flippant to be saying, just go and retrain. All right, let me go to Ryan. Ryan, you are a barman yourself. Are you working in a place that's reopened or not?
I'm working in a place that reopened as a restaurant agent.
Okay, and what did you want to say on this?
I'm just saying there, like, last night I was listening to government.
Sorry, Ryan, your phone is really distant and muffled. And
can you hear me there now?
Ah, that's much better, yeah.
Yeah, I was reading there last night, the government saying restaurants and pubs that reopened now have to close at 11 o'clock.
Like, that's right, yeah.
My understanding of this is someone in the government that's never worked in hospitality, that doesn't really know what they're talking about, and said, oh, if we close an hour early, that's not going to affect this. Like, people are getting takeaway cocktails in town and standing around George Street, Temple Bar, Sade Street, you name it, they're getting cocktails, they're getting cans from the local Dunnes or Tesco, and they're standing around, and guards can do nothing but usher people on. So, like, closing pubs for another 3 weeks, how is that going to stop what's already happening, where you can go into a pub and they can be strict and say, you can't leave your seat, you can go here, and this is all you can do for 105 minutes, and then goodbye.
The place that you're working in, Ryan, are you throwing people out after 105 minutes?
Well, our kill system is very good in the fact that once people sit down, we straight away organise the table to those people, and our kill system keeps track of how many minutes they're sitting there, how much they've ordered, everything like that. And after the hour mark, we remind them that you have a 30-minute mark left, and then we kindly ask them with takeaway cups if they have drinks left to move on.
Right. You're one of the few places, because any place I've been in, I haven't been moved out of the place. We've had something to eat in all of the places we've been in, but not once have I been asked to leave. Not once. Now maybe you're the exception to the rule, but it seems to me that unless a premises has a need for the table that you're sitting at, in other words, the queue outside the door, they're not going to ask you to leave.
9 times out of 10, I've heard people say to me, they've been asked to leave, and then in a half an hour's time, they can rebook and come back in.
Yeah. Which seems pointless as well. In fact, yeah. I know of one couple that were sitting in a place like the place you described, and the till system kept a track of them, and all they did was move to a different table and start all over again, which was... But anyway, you believe, firstly, that the closing time of 11 o'clock is ridiculous.
Yeah. What is that helping? You're already having people come in. If you're closing at 11, where are they going to go? They're going to stand around the streets. They're going to bump into other people. They're going to go to an off-license somewhere, or they're going to try and get takeaway drinks for that time. And they're going to stand around and laugh, joke, hug, and everything like it.
Or head off to a house party.
Exactly. You're more likely to go to a house party after you've been in a restaurant or a pub that's serving food, having a few drinks and a laugh, and say, we don't want the nighty end. Come on back to mine, or come on back to yours.
Just out of curiosity then, Ryan, how has business been where you work since you reopened?
During the day, it's been slow, but evening time, you're looking at, like, my premises is quite a big place, and it kind of linked into other premises, so we were lucky enough, but, it's busy enough at night time, but as I said, once that hour and a half mark comes up, you're asked to leave, and... you're asked politely to leave. But another thing about that, people aren't understanding that restaurants or pubs that open as restaurants have to charge €23 per person for food, and pubs that opened up serving food are only €9.50. And you're telling that to people, and they're shocked and going mad at you.
Okay. Stay there for a second, Ryan. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898. This message says, what's the difference between a dinner in a pub and a packet of peanuts? The peanuts don't carry as much germs as a knife and fork and plate. The pubs are being used as something like a fear factor for us to stay in. Please read this out. I just did. Thank you. That's from somebody who describes themselves as a very powerful listener. Whatever that means. Mandy, you're on 98FM. Hiya, Mandy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Mandy. Was this the right decision or not?
No, definitely not. What's the difference between a pub that serves food and one that doesn't? We're due to go on a staycation next week. And I'm rethinking it now, because... not that I'm a big drinker, but I want to be able to go in and have a pint when I'm on my holidays. It's part of being on your holidays.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But actually, believe it or not, it's one of the reasons that a month and a half or 2 months ago, we decided to book a camper van, and then we weren't relying on anywhere being reopened. We just do our own thing, and I'm kind of glad we did now.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I just, it's not only the pubs industry, it's the whole tourism industry in Ireland that this is affecting. If hotels can't stay open past 11 o'clock, even if there's residents there, like, it's just, you know, it's, we're never going to come back from all of this, in fairness. And what's the difference between going to a pub for an hour and a half and going into supermarkets? People in supermarkets are in there for an hour and 20 minutes, whatever it takes, all queuing up on top of each other as well.
Well, you're meant to be wearing a face mask now. Now, I know people aren't, but it's mandatory from next Monday to wear a face mask.
Yeah, it's been mandatory for the last 2.5 weeks, but it's not, people aren't wearing face masks. Believe you me, I walk in the supermarket. Mm. Customers are not wearing face masks.
Well, they're going to have to next week.
It'll be interesting
to see, actually, because I noticed yesterday, I was in a supermarket yesterday, I did have a face mask on myself, but I would say maybe 50% didn't. And there was a sign on the front door saying, please wear a face mask, but there was nobody walking around this particular supermarket enforcing that.
Yeah, I don't think you can enforce it as such. Like,
well, you kind of can, because, you know, most supermarkets are private property, so they can have their own rules on their own premises. But it'll be interesting to see next week whether or not it does make a difference. It did make a difference on the buses, Mandy, when it became mandatory.
I'm on a bus at the moment.
Oh, right. And have you got your face mask on?
I do indeed, yes.
As you're talking to me.
Right, very good. You can hear me quite well.
And I can hear you perfectly. And has everybody else got a face mask on?
Hang on. Yes.
Yes. All right. So making it mandatory does work.
It does work, yeah. It seems to work on the buses, but not so much in supermarkets. But
okay, but as I said, it's mandatory from next Monday, so we'll have to wait and see. Does it make a difference?
But
just going back to the staycation,
yeah.
You're kind of half thinking of calling it off.
As I said, I'm not a huge drinker, but as in part of your holiday, being able to do things that you don't normally do in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you've made me grateful that I actually did book the camper van for our holiday, because then we're not relying on anybody. But
so, go back to your hotel at night time and buy a few beers and sit in your bedroom.
Yeah.
I can do that at home.
Yeah, of course you can, yeah. All right, Mandy. The only thing I would say to you is to go ahead with the holiday, because the tourism industry in Ireland needs it. That's all
I completely agree with you. They really do need it.
All right, good to talk to you, Mandy. And
Thank you. Be
safe on that bus. Muireann, you're on 98 FM. Hiya, Muireann.
Hiya, how's it going?
Now, Muireann, what did you want to say on this?
Well, I just think it's giving false security to parents about getting the children back to school. I think it's not going to be 100% safe to send the children back to school until we open everything up and we see, is there a peak in COVID, or how we deal with the clusters, or where the clusters are coming from. Are they coming from the building sites? Are they coming from the creches? So I think the pubs should have been open along with the restaurants and the pubs that could serve food, you know, in the end of June or in the end of July, and it would have given the time frame to see.
I was reading a thing earlier on that in Belgium, the way they're operating in Belgium is they allowed the pubs to reopen, and they have very strict social distancing guidelines and all of that sort of thing. And if you are caught in breach of those guidelines, you're just shut down for 2 weeks. End of story. Closed down, shutters pulled down, and you're not allowed to trade for 2 weeks. That would make everywhere play ball, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think that some sort of plan needs to be put in place. You know, I mean, what's going to happen when the kids go back to school and the pubs do reopen?
Mm.
If they're so concerned of this spike happening when the pubs reopen, what's going to happen then? Are the schools going to shut down again? I think they should have used this opportunity to use the next couple of weeks to see, is there a spike, and can they deal with the clusters? Can they deal with the tracing, to put in a plan, as you say, with severe consequences if you're breaking protocol, do you know? And maybe get a few more inspectors out there to make sure that they are going by protocol.
Yeah, but any premises that I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks, they say the guards are in and out like yo-yos, so they are constantly popping in and out of premises to make sure. And I know I was in one place and they just kind of stuck their head in the door and they looked around just to see that everybody was sitting at tables. They weren't interested in how long you were there, but just that everybody was sitting down and everyone was socially distanced, and that was grand, and they headed on on their way. But I think if the guards arrive into a place and they're not playing ball, they should literally be shut down there and then and closed for 2 weeks as a punishment.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with you, because that one premises is affecting everybody else. But I do genuinely think it's a false sense of security that they're giving to parents, that if the pubs don't open, everything's fine. I mean, there was clusters of meat factories and building sites, and until they start announcing where the clusters are, you know, I don't think, personally, I don't think it's safe for children to go back to school until we know we can contain COVID-19 properly and effectively. And we don't know that until everything is opened back up.
Yeah, but as we've seen in places like Australia, they were best in class for how they dealt with it. And now the state of Victoria is in bits with this virus. They were doing so well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will never know we're over this.
Well, that's it. We won't know we're over it until we open stuff up. So that's what I'm saying. It's not safe to send the children back until we open everything else up and see what position we're in, and see can we cope and see can we deal with, you know, clusters and tracing and the whole lot. I mean, otherwise you may say goodbye to the pub industry altogether.
I know, and it's a scary thought for all of the people that work in it and supply to it and everything else. It's an awful lot of jobs we're talking about here.
You know, and then are you going to get flu season? Are you going to get the second wave then when all the children are back in school? I think they should be doing it at this time before it is time to send them back to school.
Okay, but the counter argument is, Maureen, that they had to make the tough decision. They had to slow down the reopening because the last thing any of us want is another lockdown situation again.
No.
The thought literally fills me with dread. It's just such a scary thought. All right, Maureen, thanks very much. Sorry, go on. Say that again.
I was just going to say, if the pubs use the same protocol that the pubs that are serving food are using, well, then, you know, I mean, that seems to be working quite well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I have found myself feeling very safe in any place I've been in over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All right, Maureen, thank you. Adrian, I work in an office on South William Street. We've been back in the office for a month now. They don't practice physical distancing. I had to request numerous times to be provided with hand sanitizer. I haven't seen any cleaning in the office since I got back. I would feel safer in a pub knowing that they put every measure they can in place to keep people safe. If you're in that sort of an environment in your office, the person who sent me that message, Sarah is the person who sent me that message. Sarah, I would go to the highest authorities in your office and complain about it. I really would. Because I can tell you, in our office here, where we have about, I reckon about 50% of the staff are now back in the office, it is very safe and very socially distanced, and Perspex screens, and I have to give credit to the company. They've done a fantastic job in making us as workers in this building feel very safe. I feel very safe here. And Sarah, if you're going into work and you don't feel safe, I would go to the highest level in your company and complain about that. Trish, you're on 98FM. Hiya, Trish.
Morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Trish. You are a healthcare worker.
I am indeed.
And you support the government decision yesterday?
I did. And what? I do.
Why?
Given the situation I walk in, I'm driving back and forward to work every day. And the evening, going home from work, there's the same crowd of gentlemen outside the pub smoking. And obviously they're not eating food and complying to the rules. I was also out 3 weeks ago in a pub in Kinnegad for lunch. And the social distancing was disgraceful. I actually got up and left the pub.
So you believe that we need to just put on the brakes, slow down a little bit, and let's see what happens over the coming weeks?
Well, coming from first-hand dealing with people with COVID and walking in the sector, my sister was in ICU for 12 days on full ventilation. It was touch and go. It's devastating, the effect it has on families. A lot of people, obviously, if nobody in the family has contacted COVID and has been admitted to hospital, don't realise the effects that this has on people, the suffering people go through.
And I think, to be honest with you, Trish, and this is a conversation I only had with somebody yesterday, I think because a lot of us don't know of somebody personally affected by this, then it were, you know, some people aren't taking it seriously enough. Is that the point
yes.
you're trying to make?
Yes, definitely. I agree.
If it came to you,
yeah, if it came to your,
yeah, if it came to your front door, you may realise that this is, you know, we have to not forget what this is all about in the first place.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. You know, it's serious. It's a serious issue, and people are just not complying. I've seen it myself out in the shops, and as I said, given first hand as a healthcare worker, I'm terrified. Because I have a family at home, I have an elderly person at home too. So I have to come to work. I have to comply to all the rules. Like, why can't people just comply and do what they're being asked to do to keep this virus at bay? You know, people just don't realise.
And what about the difficulty for, on the one hand, you have pubs that serve food were allowed to reopen because they were classed as restaurants, and now you have some taking the mick, having chipper vans outside the front door just to serve a bit of food. But
now, at the same time, I do feel sorry for the public.
That's what I was about to say to you, yeah.
Yes, they're at loss, they're out of pocket. Okay, you know, the same with us. You know, as nurses, we're also out of pocket because some of their shifts have changed. You know, and there's been other companies that are out of pocket because they had to shut down. Like, the pub isn't the end of the world. You know, the pub
it is if
there.
You own one or work in one or supply
one,
to
I do
one.
Agree, yes. And I heard that gentleman or your comment yesterday.
Do you know what I mean? And like, you know, some yeah, people would say, you know, a radio station isn't the end of the world, but it is for me. It's my life. It's my
for the public. Is yeah. It is for them. And that man that's saying he doesn't know how he's going to get his children back to school.
Correct.
That's understandable. But the government, I feel, need to step in there and put something else in place for those people that their pubs have to close.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
they did
announce yesterday that they are going to look at ways in which to help the sector, and they need to. They desperately need to.
They definitely need to. Yeah. But I'm just looking on the medical side. I do feel sorry for publicans. It's not that I want the pubs to shut down. I love going to the pub. I love going for a pint. I love going out having my lunch of a Sunday. And that's not the issue. It's the medical end I'm coming from, the seriousness of it. And people need to comply and realise how serious it is.
All right,
but
Trish.
I'm out there, I'm out walking for everybody to keep everybody safe. Why can't they just do what they need to do to keep everybody else safe?
All right, good to talk to you, Trish, and thanks very much indeed. Let me just read out one final message, and it says, I am appalled to hear yesterday's announcement. However, I do agree with the pause now to save a later step back. I am a DJ and have been massively affected by this. It was my only outlet for my mental health, and without it, I am really struggling. And I know many of my friends who are in the events and bar and pub industry are struggling mentally and financially massively. It's not just a case where we can just retrain when these were what brought us purpose to our lives in the first place and a chance to blow off some steam. I feel the government has completely left us in the dark and should be offering more support and give us all a chance to prove ourselves. The hairdressers got it, why can't we? They allowed some pubs to open, why can't the rest? It should be all or nothing, I feel. And I was appalled to hear the minister said yesterday, we should be realistic and retrain ourselves. This is our livelihood. You can't retrain in the only area that gives you a purpose to get up every day. And that message really does say it all. And I do think it is very flippant of a minister to say, I'll go off and retrain. Because I put myself in that situation. The job that I do here every day is all I've ever known. It's all I've ever done. I've worked in radio since I was 16 years of age. If the radio stations were shut down tomorrow because of COVID-19, I honestly don't know how I'd cope. So I can really put myself in that person's shoes. Anyway, one more message from Australia. I love how no pubs can open, but meat factories are still open. And the argument there is that meat factories are providing an essential service, and that essential service is food. They were open all the way through the lockdown and will continue to remain open because they provide an essential service, and that is the essential service of food. 98.
Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.